Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Go for a ride, Greg.
Thanks, Darren. Where are we going?
Taco Town.
Okay, we can go to Taco Town today.
Welcome to happy Seis de Mayo.
Nope, not a thing.
Feliz Seis de Mayo.
Nope, still not a thing. That was just Anna Nardine. She will be playing live in studio today on Snacky Tunes. Got packed show today. Packed show. Big day in New York. It's the James Beard Awards tonight.
Yes.
And then also the Met Gala, which I think our invitations got lost in the mail.
I got mine. I'm taking Joe, our dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe the engineer just like looked over. He was like, oh, no, Joe, sorry, it's a dog. That's how much Darren cares about your relationship.
Sorry. My beagle comes first. Today we're starting a new segment on Snacky Tunes that deals with the crossroads of food and technology. And we have Karen Muskoff from Bing. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thanks. How are you guys?
Good. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
You're really just trying
not
to
not Cinco de Mayo anymore.
No, just trying to wish a Feliz to somebody.
I am. Well, I think Karen's receptive. Karen, I just want to let you know that you spell your Karen the same way I spell Darren, but just with a D.
I did notice that, Darren.
And we all want you to know that also in the room with us are the boys from Dos Toros, who will probably be peppering in or grating in questions.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Awesome. Hello.
So, Karen, you are the senior product manager for Bing and MSN. And for people who don't know what Bing is, please explain what it is.
Sure. Bing is the search engine for Microsoft. So we're a great search engine that allows you to find anything you're looking for very quickly and fast.
Now, I was lucky enough to go to the Red Rooster Marcus Samuelson dinner. How did you hook up with Marcus Samuelson? What does he have to do with food and Bing and technology?
We were so glad to have you there. Marcus is a great friend of Bing, and you know why we decided we wanted to really work with Marcus and our and you know have a relationship with him a little bit broader is that you know he's a great example of someone that really embraces technology, and so Bing has really been looking at the food space and you know has been super interested, and we've created some things that are interesting, I think, for both foodies and for, you know, those home cooks and people that just like to go out and enjoy a meal at a restaurant.
One of the most amazing things that you had there was the real-time translator where you just held up the phone to a different language and it would translate it into English.
Oh.
Oh, we just got some in-studio headcocks and eyebrow raising.
Wow.
Totally. You guys, it's one of my favorite things that we offer. And it's available both on the PC, but though you can't hold your PC up and, you know, do the same thing that you can on the phone. But on Windows Phone, the translator, what's so great about this is you can point it at some language, so you're not even having to take a picture. You just use, if you have a smartphone, your Windows Phone, and you just show it. You know, let's say you're at a restaurant with a menu that you really can't understand, you just point it to the menu, and it'll tell you what you're eating. So if you think you're getting chicken, but it's really something like snake, you'll know that right away by using the translator app.
A common misconception.
A common,
although
exactly.
Snake does taste like chicken, so you're kind of okay.
Although I think I just read that in China, you could be think you're getting chicken, you're actually getting rat.
Oh, yeah, lamb rat.
Lamb. Oh,
yeah.
See, you wouldn't be surprised if you used the translator app. You would know. Hopefully, it would tell you before you go ahead and try that rat, unless that's what you really want to order.
No. Well, you never know. How many languages does this work in?
I think we're over 30 now. I think we're about 32. And what's great about it also is you don't have to be connected. So you can download language packs prior to traveling. Mm. And so you've got that all on your phone. And so you don't have to, you know, have an internet connection or anything. You can just point it and go.
Off the grid, understanding languages.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
And so let's talk about how Bing is a discovery tool for people trying to eat.
Sure.
You know, where, you know, let's say either in my local town or I'm on the road, you know, is there a way to make something that's a little bit more tailor-made to what I like than just say, like, you know, something that rates high on, like, a Yelp or a Zagat rating?
Sure, absolutely. So there's a couple of things we do. Again, if you're using that Windows phone, we have a feature called Local Scout. And what's great about that is it will tell you different restaurants in the area you are. So, and you can narrow that down by the type of cuisine you want to eat as well. And then another thing that we have is called Bing Social Search. And if you're not familiar with that, Bing allows you to really see what your friends on Facebook are talking about. So if you were to put a search into Bing, let's say for a Red Rooster or restaurants in Brooklyn, and your friends happen to be, you know, restaurant connoisseurs that, you know, hit up all the hot spots in New York, you're going to see that off to the right-hand side as you're logged into Facebook. You'll see all of their comments about, you know, the restaurants they've eaten at in Brooklyn. The other cool thing that the social search does is it gives you expert translation or expert folks that are talking about. It might be food critics, or it could be someone on Twitter that are talking about the different hotspots as well. So you see all of that off to the right-hand side when you're searching on Bing.
And then how does it really foster the food community? Where do you see technology and Bing and food coming together?
I think it, you know, it happens in a couple of ways. It happens through these features like I was just talking about, and also through something called Recipe Finder, which is, this is a really cool feature if you are searching for something that you're, you know, cooking in the kitchen, let's say, and maybe you want to do just something simple like chocolate chip cookies. So you would type in chocolate chip cookies, you can hover over that, and rather than having to click into the URL, you're going to see that recipe pop right up on your search screen. So what that's doing is it's just getting it all in one place. Our goal is really to give you information really right in front of you, so you're not having to dig and, you know, go through 20 pages to find what you're looking for. So what we're trying to do to help support the food community is, you know, through these different things like partnerships with, you know, maybe an Open Table or Yelp, or even some of the things like with Marcus Samuelson, for example.
Now, I know that you're a big camper. So
how did you know that?
Because we're...
He binged you.
Yeah, I binged you.
Oh, got it. Got it.
So I know that you're camping. For those type of experiences where it's not restaurant-based and you're out in the wilderness or you're out just doing like a picnic or something like that, how does Bing help you enjoy your experience?
Sure, absolutely. So I did this last summer. I was looking for something that I could try that is easy to cook when you're outdoors because, you know, you don't have everything that you need right at your fingertips. But I came across, I did a search for camping recipes, and I came across this great s'more idea, which was essentially you take fresh mozzarella balls and you skewer it like you would skewer a marshmallow if you were doing s'mores, and you let it melt a little bit over the open fire. And then you have a cracker, and you put some, like, a salsa or just chopped-up tomato. You squeeze it together on the cracker, and you've got yourself a little caprese sandwich.
I'm not mad at that.
No.
It's amazing. I recommend it to everyone.
Awesome. So for those who have never used Bing before and might use some other search engines as their go-to food search engine, why would you recommend switching?
Really, it's these unique things that we would just kind of talked about. That social feature really helps you stay connected with, you know, your friends and the experts in the area. So I think that's one unique thing that we offer. We also have the recipe search. We have just a more robust search. You're going to see great images. You're going to see what the food looks like before you prepare it. For me, that's always really helpful. I love pictures. So if I know what it's supposed to look like when it's finished, then I can kind of compare the two and see how close I got. So there's a lot of great things that I think people will be excited to learn about.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you, Karen, so much for coming on, sharing us. Is it Bing it? Is that the verbiage?
You can Bing it, absolutely. You can also, if you want to try, you mentioned these other search engines. If you want to try to see how Bing does against another search engine, there's a URL that people can go to called bingiton.com. Okay. And really, it tests side by side, so you can see the type of food results that you want to see.
And you, I assume that you feel that you are the clear winner every time.
100%. You know, we're not going to win every single time, but I think that people are going to be really surprised by what they find.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I hope you gear up for camping season.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
can't wait.
It should be good. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be binging it on later tonight, right?
Awesome. Sounds good. And, you know, if that invite to the Met Ball is still around, I'm available. So.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. We'll do a raffle later.
We'll do a raffle later. Sure. Thank you, Karen.
Sounds great. Thanks, you guys.
Have a great day.
All right. Well, coming up next in the show, we have the guys from Dos Toros. But first, do you want to give a little setup for the song we're about to play?
Yeah. Dos Toros periodically makes kind of rap parody kind of songs where we rap over a beat. The last one was Guac It Out, based on the song Walk It Out by DJ Unk, and this new one's Black or Pinto, based on Black and Yellow by Wiz Khalifa.
An ode to beans.
Yeah. Okay. And you released it in celebration of your New Bedford store.
Exactly.
That's true.
We'll talk about that after the song.
It's a tease. Snacky tunes.
Here you go.
Oh, I can't. Can you turn up the guac in my headphones? I can't. Oh, there it is.
Dos Toros, about to be expanding to the outer boroughs.
Brooklyn!
Yeah, you know what it is. We roll burritos, we roll them big. Yeah, making tacos. When we pull them off the griddle, that's hot, yo.
Just a couple questions before we get this here burrito started. Black a pino, black a pino, black a pino, black a pino. Seriously, bro, I need to know what kind of beans you wanted. Black a pino, black a pino, black a pino.
Black beans, skirt steak,
Chipotle scared of it, but them bros ain't. Soon as I take a bite, you see my old face. Here we go again, another guacamole showcase. I got cojones, I'm every hole lace. My huevos rancheros be dropping chones. Call me teacher's pet, 4.0 straight A's. But not report cards, NYC health grade.
Yeah, you know our legumes are hella local and organic. Burritos so legit, you'd swear our mama was Hispanic. 13-inch tortillas, dog, that's straight up gigantic. But we roll them up tight, cause we burrito mechanics. We be repping for the Bay every day and every way we don't play. Rest in peace, Mac Dre. I'm the Taco Picasso, and it's a fine art. But no cheese breaks my heart.
Yeah, you know what it is. We roll burritos, we roll them big. Yeah, making tacos. When we pull them off the griddle, that's hot, yo.
Just a couple questions before we get this here burrito started. Black a pino, black a pino, black a pino, black a pino. Seriously, bro, I need to know what kind of beans you want. Black a pino, black a pino, black a pino, black a pino.
Got a tweet from my homie with a hashtag. At those Toros NYC has got that Cali swag. This food ain't scallywag. It's near heaven, like imagine a burrito that was fit for John Lennon. With Yoko popping tacos like the vitamins. And George, Paul, and Ringo drinking tamarinds. This ain't the Atkinson, cause we be packing them. And you can call me Mr. Bean like Rowan Atkinson.
Kylie's representing that 4th Ave crew. Alien gang, yo, we Gucci, ha, you know how we do. Ain't got no lettuce,
got no peps and O's.
Our only veggies are legumes, but we still roll Ritos.
Gimbo beans, that's fiesta.
Every day my roll's getting faster.
Ride that way,
give me what you crave.
They call me the burrito master.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, you need me to take it slow? Well, let's start at the top. Here we go.
Black a pino.
Yeah, you know what it is. Yeah, you know what it is.
Just a couple questions before we get this here burrito started. Black a pino, black a pino, black a pino, black a pino. Seriously, bro, I need to know what kind of beans you want. Black a pino, black a pino, black a pino, black a pino.
Yeah, you know what it is. We roll burritos, we roll them big. Yeah, making tacos. When we pull them off the griddle, that's hot, yo.
Just a couple questions before we get this here burrito started. Black a pino, black a pino, black a pino, black a pino. Seriously, bro, I need to know what kind of beans you want. Black a pino, black a pino, black a pino, black a pino.
DT Worldwide.
So, one take, right?
The video's pretty good, too.
Thank you. We have a pretty good crew at the restaurant. Actually, everybody that was in the video and that was involved with the production and the filming, they are all DT staff, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
What's the catered food on the video set?
Guacamole, chips, black and
pinto beans.
So what is it? I mean, I'm a black bean fan.
Yeah, me too. Mm.
Yeah, we come down on the pinto bean side of things.
Okay.
I'd say the majority of our staff, actually, I think once you spend enough time at Dos Toros, I think pretty much everybody converts to pinto.
What's the sell? Besides, don't just say taste, but like, what's the sell? It's like, what am I missing?
Well, pinto beans are a little larger than black beans. Mm. They're a little softer.
Yeah, a little more buttery.
Okay.
While still being really healthy as well.
I think people got it in their heads that black beans were really healthy, more healthy than pinto beans. I think that's the health thing is where people gravitate to black beans first.
I like the sweetness of the black beans.
Mm. That's a much better reason. Well, because pinto beans are really healthy, too. Typically, pinto beans are prepared differently from black beans with, like...
Often with lard or...
Yeah, and, like,
ours are vegetarian.
But you have a special term for black and pinto.
We do.
Fiesta.
Fiesta.
It's a bean party.
That's our code.
Which, now that I know of, I think I'm going to go fiesta.
Yeah, I think I would actually...
Fiesta's great. You get the best of both.
But you don't do refried beans, do you?
No.
Meh.
No.
Nah.
We didn't feel like the demand was there for the refried.
Also, they don't roll into burritos quite as well.
So for people who might not know about Dos Toros, let's get a little background. Welcome back.
Thank you.
That's right.
Second time. But this time we have all the brothers.
That's right. Yeah. Last time it was just me. Now Oliver's here.
I'm here.
Last time it was just me. A little, refreshed. A little refreshed.
Two on two.
Yeah.
So, we grew up in the Bay Area where burritos are... everywhere, and there's one specific spot in Berkeley, called Gordo Taqueria, where I spent a large amount of my childhood, Leo as well, and we just wanted to bring that love for Mexican food and that passion for burritos and tacos to the East Coast.
Yeah, there really weren't any legitimate burritos out here.
No.
Which was, I mean, not to cast, not to put too fine of a point on it. I mean, but it's like the burrito is like a really, it's a Northern Californian food.
Right.
It's not Mexican food. That's where you get in trouble. You know, it's like, I want some Mexican food. Well, a taco is Mexican food, but a burrito is Californian Mexican food. So
and I thought,
you need some Californians to come bring that.
I think New York has, for a long time, had good tacos, really good tacos.
Totally.
And, you know, other good Mexican food as well. But just the simple foil wrapped, you know, burrito that at least the one we grew up on was seemed to be lacking.
And I know people are burrito fans, but I always get your quesadilla, which that's, I find is even rarer in New York. The grilled stuff.
It's a sleeper.
Oh, yeah.
Is it real? Is it? Does it sell less than the burritos?
Yeah. Totally. But it's awesome.
New York.
It's the deep cut.
What's wrong with you?
Well, people, you hear quesadilla, you think one of these like kind of melted, like half circular moon kind of guys with just like some
like
cheese.
Very gooey.
Super like simple. Like, yeah, like kids' food. Like
again,
really, really
I have
simple.
No problem with what you're explaining.
no problem with
no
it.
No problem.
But we're a little more complex. We kind of trifold it. It becomes kind of a.
And we put everything in it.
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to having
it's like, it's imagine, it's a pressed burrito that's crispy on the outside.
Yeah. Totally.
It's you got this like extra layer burrito of texture that really brings it home.
I totally agree.
So, how was your weekend? How was your Cinco de Mayo?
Pretty good. I think I have a new baby, so I'm not going quite as hard as I used to. Oliver picks up the slack for both.
My Cinco de Mayo was different.
It went a different
path. It was great. It was.
When did your Cinco de Mayo start? Is it like Halloween in New York, where it starts the week before?
Yeah, I mean, catering wise, we were doing a lot of catering the week before, a lot of office parties and some apartment parties.
It's amazing how big Cinco de Mayo has gotten.
It's huge.
I think it's because Corona and Bud Light Lime have gotten behind it,
probably,
and like pushed it to like a whole other level. I don't think it's like
grande level.
Yeah, grande. I think it's like really like there's like a couple companies like, how can we sell more products?
Right.
Yeah. Cinco de Mayo.
It's the arrival of the warm weather too. Everyone's really excited.
Technically,
totally.
Generally coincides with warmer weather.
Not today.
But it's funny. It's like we're busier when it's warmer out. But in the Bay Area, there's no correlation. Like I think East Coasters view Mexican food as like kind of like celebration food. Like, it's a warm day, let's party, get a beer, and
get some tacos
burrito.
From the park.
But if you're in Berkeley, you're just like, it's a Tuesday, like in January, I'm getting a burrito now.
What did Mark Twain say? The coldest winter I ever spent was August in San Francisco.
That's right.
So how's your first month been on Bedford?
Yeah, what's it like being, I mean, you're not just on Bedford, you're at North 6, you're at the epicenter of Bedford.
And I used to eat at that place that you guys took over.
Saksuka.
Yeah, man.
Hurt my stomach every time.
Sorry.
Three for three. Not you guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we took them out.
Yeah. It was odd that they opened up around the corner from Oasis.
Like, that was the issue for
like,
them.
Like, Oasis is just, it's an institution.
I was just going to say it's
and
an
if you're, like, getting off the train, like, you're like, man, I want a falafel. It's like, it's literally right there. You can't escape it.
Right. They didn't outposition them. They just kind of were there.
And it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bit more made to order than Oasis, in all fairness, but not enough of a differentiator.
I think the meat stick spinning in the window thing is not what
it
once was.
It can be freaky if it's not done just right.
Yeah. Actually, they did a really good job visually, because I'd walk past and it looked good, but it never delivered. But anyway, so you opened up on Bedford. What's it like? I mean, that's a fashion show, especially this time of year.
A lot of action.
Because you have a giant window.
Yeah.
Yeah, the window opens up. It's like, we feel like it's pretty epic.
Indoor, outdoor, it feels
people watching.
It's just good to be near the subway. It's a convenience thing. We want to make it easy for people to get burritos and tacos.
Yeah, it's like some places are like Roberta's or, you know, I don't know, Freeman's or whatever. Like, you put it kind of in a out-of-the-way place, and that becomes part of the story. And
yeah.
It's exciting to make, you know, trek out there and eat there. But for Dos Toros, it's like, it should be a convenience food. So it should be convenient to you. We just want to be near the train and grab a burrito and get on your way.
No, totally. It's something like I got 15 minutes to kill, either going to or coming from destination. Right. How many are a lot of svelte people coming in?
Oh, they're svelte.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's quite a show. Amazing.
And is it amazing how these people house entire burritos and quesadillas and chips and guacamole and everything like that?
Oh, yeah. You can't judge a book by its cover. I've seen some very small girls put away a lot of food before.
And I mean, and you were at the other, like, other end of the epicenter spectrum for being in Union Square. So how, I mean, in your 1 month
here. At West 4th, that's sort of like NYU territory.
Mm-hmm. So have you noticed any difference in trends in your customers there? Are they all just New Yorkers and diverse by default?
No, I mean, they're totally. Union Square, I think, is the most even, like, cross-section.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, we'll have a line of people ready to order, and it's like you got your, like, hipsters and the kind of the, like, grandma and the mom with the stroller and, like, the suits. And just, like, everyone's kind of.
Skateboarders.
Yeah, totally. Just kind of a good range of people. West Village is more, a little younger.
More West Village.
And more tourists in the West Village.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you just started a new playlist for the Williamsburg store, and we talked about the art of building a playlist. How? Well, you tell me. You started with how many? You have a. You started with a.
I started with like 1,000 songs, and now it's up to a couple thousand. And you don't want to repeat too much, or else it drives the team crazy.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, burrito eating food. I mean, music is. It's got to be like a certain tempo.
It's like love making music.
Mid tempo.
How many BPMs?
I think the sweet spot's like 70 to like 100.
Okay.
Kind of slow.
Yeah, yeah. Not too fast. But you can't eat a burrito that fast.
Right.
I shy away from rock and roll. We stick with funk. More syncopation.
Eating my burritos at 138 beats per minute.
So like, that's
what,
insane.
Like, what's like a few like key burrito eating songs?
I think James Brown works pretty well for burrito eating.
Anything by the Meters?
Meters. Yeah, like the Payback, song like that. Or there's a song by like Grey Boy All-Stars, like V-neck sweater. I like instrumental kind of like funky songs. Yeah,
less lyric driven.
Yeah. So what's coming up for you guys? What's the next hit off the new album?
Well, we've got a couple ideas. We're throwing around, should I say it?
Yeah, let's drop it.
Drop it.
You know Hip Hop by Dead Prez?
Yes.
We're thinking about doing It's Bigger Than Chips, Guac, Chips, Guac, Chips.
Fake tacos.
Feel no pain.
Yeah.
Right. This seems like past an idea. This seems like
it's early developmental stage. But that's
how they all start.
And that's all. I mean, you have a musical background. Played that bass.
Yeah, I played bass for many years. Rock and roll. My rock and roll past. But
who knew that it would lead to you slinging quesadillas and then covering rap songs? Quick question.
Yeah.
Since you guys have now four locations,
mm-hmm.
What is there a secret menu, in quotes, in the way that in an Outburger has a secret menu?
Well, there's code words. So Fiesta is a total code word.
That's one hack.
Mm-hmm.
We also have just kind of shortenings that we use like on staff. So like the reason Black Repinto was a meaningful song for us is because every customer that gets a burrito was like, okay, you want Black Repinto beans on your burrito. Like we ask that question a lot. So often we're trying to remember bean and meat combinations. Mm.
There's, you know, six or eight of these.
Right. So like, oh, black beans with chicken, pinto beans with carnitas. So the most commonly ordered ones have nicknames. Like carnitas with pinto beans we call the Godfather.
Yeah. Or chicken black is the Easy Rider.
Interesting. So.
But that's not, those aren't really secret menu. That's no, just short.
But if I went in.
You could be a little inside baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if I went in.
You get respect.
It said Godfather quesadilla, I get like a little nod.
Well,
kind of.
There's no beans on the quesadilla.
But, I mean, you could add beans to your quesadilla.
You could ask for a Godfather quesadilla.
I'll tell you what. I always order my quesadillas with black beans.
Really?
I recommend throwing some rice on that thing.
Yeah, that's kind of one of our quesadilla hacks is just put a little bit of rice on there.
Because the moisture, it absorbs moisture. It's pretty
nice. I have a personal problem with rice in my quesadilla.
Oh.
And we definitely do not have enough time to get into
it. We don't have time.
So I don't want to talk about your personal problems.
If you call the addition of black beans to quesadilla the Darren hack, I would appreciate that.
Okay.
It's daring.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There we go. All right. Well, do you want to give people the nuts and bolts where they can find you, the quick rundown of all the locations?
Totally. Before we do that, I just want to mention one other weird hack you can do.
Absolutely.
Our West Village location is two doors down from Joe's Pizza, which is, I think, a really good slice. And thing we've been doing every now and then is put a taco inside of a slice of pizza, kind of fold it all up.
So it's like a taco. So,
yeah, you don't even have to explain the visual. You're about to do the visual, but I
think that's pretty straightforward.
Look.
A pizza taco, and it's taco. It's really nice.
Are they in on it?
Yeah. They're grudging.
I don't think they like.
I'll tell you what, though. The guy behind that counter can open up a bag so loudly it'll make your ears ring.
Mm.
He knows how to do the pop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good bag pop.
Good bag pop.
I love a good bag pop.
Like years. He's probably got like carpal tunnel. Uh-huh. Or Pugh's stress syndrome. All right, so
locations.
Locations.
Yes.
Nuts and bolts.
Our Union Square location is at 137 4th Ave between 13th and 14th Streets, just south of Union Square. The West Village, we're at 11 Carmine between Bleecker and 6th Avenue on Father Demo Square, a nice little park.
Oh, it's picturesque.
In the Upper East, we're at Lexington between 77th and 78th, right across from Lenox Hill. And then our new store, as we were talking about, is on Bedford between North 6th and North 7th. And we are building a fifth downtown, which should be open in January.
Wow. And social media, website, Instagram.
Yeah, at Dos Toros. That's our Twitter. We're on Facebook / Dos Toros NYC. Website, dostoros.com. A lot of nice stuff on the website. We got some, our collected music videos are on there, and little like bits of PR and like some interesting bios.
We have a
staff.
Funny picture on our sustainability page.
Oh, we amazing. Do. That's true.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to pound some burritos at 72 BPMs this summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll be getting quesadillas. Yeah.
You'll be getting the Darren.
Yeah, I'll be getting the Darren.
I couldn't help from noticing you across the bar. Hello, I'm running, I'm falling apart. Do you want me bad? Like I want you. You said I'm Edith and I've always been a mess. Well, nice to meet you, maybe we'll undress. But we could just slide down. We both could use the rest of. So I hope. On. I hold on to a dimwit cigarette and I take a deep breath, 'cause I know you can. And I fell to greatness when I laid within your grassy realm. Crawled across the floor to a patched up helm. Your hips the balmy swell in porno And I said, hey, would you wanna join the loner metal band? And you said maybe we could just hold hands. Well, if that's the only place they'd land, I'd die a happy So I hold on, I hold on to a dimwit cigarette, and I take a deep breath, 'cause I know you can't, I know.
Well, welcome to Snacky Tunes. Do you two want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Anna Nordine.
Not a weird last name.
It's not weird at all. It's perfectly normal.
Just, yeah.
Who's saying it's weird?
She did. A little bit of salt.
Are you guys...
No, we're just kidding.
You guys going to pick on me all night?
No, we're not going to pick on you. I'm just saying that you're...
I'm going to leave.
No, please don't leave. And who is with you today?
This is the wonderful John Wiley playing guitar with me today. He's from Space Camp and See-Through and Reputant. Plays with Adam Green sometimes. He's got his own stuff, John Wiley. He's awesome.
And he's rocking a good hat. today as well. It just says no problem in a nice font in gold.
Yeah, it's a skater. The band, the Skaters hat.
And you brought two friends.
Skaters, sorry.
Because it's springtime and people just start showing up in New York in the springtime.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah.
We got James Paulus from See Through and my friend Victoria Canty from
Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach. And, well, she lives in San Francisco now.
Yeah, sorry. We can't, well, we were just talking about growing up in Myrtle Beach. So, I mean, did you start playing songs in Myrtle Beach or did you wait to New York to start playing?
I actually did. I mean, I would, my friends were all musicians generally, and I would do, I would sing on some of their tracks and stuff like that, but I never really knew that I could write songs myself until like a little bit later, till I left.
What let you realize that you could actually write songs?
Well, funny story. I just really wanted to, like, I started teaching myself to play the guitar by like learning songs and stuff like that. And I kept asking a friend of mine. I was like, write a song so we can like have a band, like, you know, write us some songs. And he never got around to it. And then finally, I was like, fine, I'll write a song. And then I was like, oh shit, I can write songs. And I just kind of like took off after that. I just started writing like song after song after song.
Did said friend come back to you yet and be like, you'll start that band?
Well,
name names, call him out.
Marijuana Luck. He
is that his real name?
Yeah. Marijuana Luck. I don't know what he's doing. He's in South Carolina still, and
technically he's blowing it.
We play. He's blowing it right now. Marijuana, you fucked up. So sorry. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can. It's internet radio.
Okay.
Two things. One, what was the first song you mastered when you were teaching yourself songs?
Oh God. Maybe something like "You Ain't Going Nowhere" by Bob Dylan.
It's a good one.
You're So Bad, Tom Petty. I don't know.
Those are all totally acceptable.
I mastered like the beginning part of "Here Comes Your Man" by the Pixies.
That's also. Those are three.
I was pretty proud of that.
Those are three really solid like teach yourself. And two, can we hear a song?
Yeah, of course.
What are you gonna play first?
I'm gonna play my song called "Love." Okay. It's about.
What's it about?
Shopping. No, I don't know.
All right. Well, you're listening live on Snacky Tunes.
I think I'm gonna lose my mind. It's doing me no good. Gonna put it aside for a while and do what I should. Not gonna think about. Yes, I do.
great.
I don't think that song's about shopping. I think that you were lying. So when you started writing songs about for yourself, where did you pull inspiration from?
When I started writing songs myself, well, it kind of happened around a period where I was just, I just kind of like retracted from the world because I went through a couple of hard times and I think music was like kind of my escape from everything that was going on. And, I obviously, write songs about, you know, love and a heartache and heart happiness.
Heart happiness?
Heart happiness. Where, if you were to write a song today, what would you focus on? Heart happiness, heartache, lost love?
I kind of like songs now that are kind of more conquering it, you know, and because that's kind of how
conquering
I feel.
Love.
I've mastered love. Got it down, guys.
For my first trick.
No, I mean like overcoming it and like coming out on the better side of it, you know, because like my first songs were all like really depressing, and then which are great too, but I don't know.
Can you still play them with the same amount of emotion from when you first wrote them? Does it still all come back as you play those heartbreaking, wrenching, bottom of the well? Didn't think it'd go any lower.
Well, I mean, shit got real for me when I was writing the really depressing ones. So yeah, some of them like tap in on that feeling, and it's like not really hard to.
You're one strum away from some heartbreak.
Yeah. So, but I also think it's like it's a good thing to kind of tap into that every once in a while. And like I actually listen to like very melancholy music, kind of sad music, sometimes before a show just to get more emotional, you know, so I can get more in my songs and can't, you know.
Let's hear another one.
Okay.
Let's hear one before you conquered love.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Won't you be my lover?
That was great.
Thanks.
That, I mean, did you get any takers on the request?
Greg. Is that how you master love?
Is that how I master love?
Yeah.
Just walking around asking people to be my lover?
Yeah.
Just for one moment.
Just a night. Just a moment. Just,
yeah. So, no commitment. Just
That was just about a boy. Just a boy.
Just a boy. So what food goes into the songwriting process? Do you have a meal that stirs creativity? Do you like pasta? Do you like tacos? Do you like something lighter, heavier?
Well, I'm gluten-free.
Cool.
But
I'm so happy we brought you to the pizza place.
Yes, so I'm really glad you brought me to this pizza place. I'm breaking out in rashes as we speak.
That's why we do radio.
Huh?
That's why we do radio.
Nice. I don't know. I really like the healthy food. I love like the kale salads and the sushi and shit like that.
It feels like it gets the mind and the body going.
Yeah.
Gets the heart going.
I love a good bowl of kale.
Yeah.
How do you like your kale done?
I'd make this kale salad where I marinate a little bit of, like, I massage like apple cider vinegar and balsamic vinegar and like a little agave and oil into the kale. And then I put a little red onion in it and a little lemon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And some like gorgonzola cheese if you want to.
How long do you massage your kale for? I mean, I feel like everyone has a different type of preferred massage time.
It depends on how much it's paying. So.
Wow. Unfortunately,
$30 for 30 minutes.
Unfortunately, the kale's got an unhappy ending.
Yeah.
So you have a new EP coming out.
Uh-huh. I do. Yeah.
Yeah, which is exciting.
Yeah. It. Yeah.
Is this celebrating love? Is this? What are we talking here? What stage of lover is this EP in?
It's pretty massively full of love.
Yay.
Yeah. There's a song that's about going for a ride, but that's, you know, it's all love based. That's kind of about, like, just saying, a lot of it is, like, a lot of my songs are kind of being, like, they're kind of, like, fuck it, I'm gonna do this.
Cool. Fuck it, I'm gonna do, like, fall in love, or...
Or, like, you know, like, love. Well, the song I first sang was about, like, I'm just gonna tell this person that I love them, like, I'm sick of being, like, you know...
Have you done that?
Passive. I have.
How'd it work out?
Not so well.
Oh...
I think that you need to do that every once in a while in your life and just be like, you know what? I don't know if I know the answer. I know there's no like yes, no, maybe box like in middle school. You just be like, these are the cards. And if it works out, you win. If it doesn't work out, you'll crawl into a bottle of whiskey and come out in a year.
Yeah. Like I kind of live with the philosophy of like doing things that scare you. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of why I play music because it frightens me.
We had a great guest on here, Polly G, who does Polly G Pizza. And he talked about the paper tissue wall of fear, which I always thought was like a really beautiful metaphor where it's like, you know, you'll do it and you'll get to the other side of it. And it might hurt, but it's probably not as bad as whatever you personal hell you create for yourself by not doing it.
Exactly. So, yeah. And afterwards, you know, it's like maybe you made a fool of yourself. Maybe you didn't. But like you lived your life. So.
Yeah. And you also know for the next time
what
it feels like.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for coming. I want to make sure we have time for one more song. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you all for
bringing the crew.
Yeah. You guys are great.
Where can everyone find yourself? What's the nuts and bolts for the online?
Where can they get the EP?
It's Anna Nordeen, Nordeen. And the EP is called You Know Where I Am. And you can find it on iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify.
By the way, I just want to say that's a great name for a love EP.
Yeah.
Like, just, hey, I'm here.
I'm here.
What is the last song you're going to play for us?
You Know Where I Am.
And it's, yeah, metaphorically speaking. But where you are right now is Snacky Tunes Radio. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with another episode. Pure X will be in studio live, which is exciting.
And we have our big barbecue starting May 14th with Garrett and Andrew from Brooklyn Brewery. Brooklyn Brewery will be there. Eventbrite will be there. Food Republic.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. May 14th at Hope. Good Co. And BBQ Blowout May.eventbrite.com.
And look for Snacky Tunes Twitter tomorrow for all the event information where you can buy tickets and everything. Thank you guys for joining us. Take it away.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.